Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for spending your Thursday with us once again. Or maybe you're listening to us at some other random time, because lots of people listen to us by podcast or on any number of the different streams where you can listen to us. And that's really cool, as people all over the world get a chance to hear the show. So thank you one and all for being here. And our guests tonight are fascinating and hysterical. Kelly Sparta is an old friend, and she is working with Kathy Sheeran, doing a training for shamans, of all things. What a surprise I would have them on. So we will be talking to them in a minute, but first tonight's metaphysical musing. And there are lots of different things that one can learn or be initiated into, and obviously, lots of the people that are on the show talk about all that stuff. But quietly in the background, there's something going on that's very exciting and very powerful. And I'm almost complete with the series of initiations. And that's called the Rites of the Munaki, M-U-N-A-Y-K-I, which basically means love in the ancient Incan language. And the descendants of the ancient Inca in South America became clear that it was time to take the energy and the teachings of the old ways, not only of the Inca tribe, but some of the other tribes in Central America, and pass them on to anyone on the planet that was ready to experience it and to pass it on to other people. Which is extraordinary, because I don't think I've ever heard of a tribe doing that in a big way. It's typically someone is initiated after a long process with one other teacher, one other shaman. And this is a connection. It's a number of things. It's a healing of your energy. It's a connection of your energy with that lineage and with the entities that lineage worked with. Very powerful stuff, very simply done. It's really very elegant. Theoretically, you could do it in a day or in 2 days, but everyone I've talked to who's done that completely got fried. And so Tiana Merope, who has been on the show many times and was on our Halloween show, is doing that initiation in my area. And spread it out over a series of months, so we would get together for an afternoon and go through part of the initiation. And then you'd get taught how to pass the initiation on. I'm very excited because of the changes I see in myself and how things in my life are changing, which is how you really know how you've changed internally, is the things around you change. But I'm also very excited to be part of this process of acknowledging the change on the planet, and that we, the people who have not been initiated and are not part of a tribe, are ready to be part of the process that goes back tens of thousands of years of connecting to spirit in this way, and working with the energies of the planet and bringing love onto the planet at this time of transition. So for those of you that have listened to the show for a long time, this doesn't sound like secret code. For those of you that are listening for the first time, this may sound a little bit odd. But there is a major transition going on the planet, and this is a fascinating and profound part of that transition is the initiation into the rites of the Munaki. So people are doing it all over the place, not only in the United States, but in other countries. And if you just Google M-U-N-A-Y-K-I, Munaki, you will probably find somebody in your area that is doing the initiations. And if you're called to do it, I strongly urge you to do it. It's an amazing process. So another way that we can bless ourselves and bless the planet. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now we get to play with Kelly and Kathy. You guys with us?
Oh, yes, we are. I am. Kathy's here.
You're doing something which we'll talk about at length. You're actually doing a school for shamans in kind of a contemporary setting, more like the typical personal growth training. So I'm looking forward to hearing about that. But what I ask all my guests to do is talk about your own personal process of becoming a shaman, coming into your power, and what you're doing now. So who would like to start, Kelly or Kathy?
Go first, Kathy.
Okay.
Okay. And I've known Kelly for, I can't even remember how many years. So, Kathy, this is an introduction for me as well.
Okay. Oh, there's so many places to start, but I think the one where I'll start is I was on this lovely career track of being a CPA and accountant, working in large public corporations. And had gotten transferred into working into the international arena with a new company and ran into a shaman. And I was so intrigued with it because part of me just wasn't being fulfilled in that corporate environment, go figure, that I said, initially I kind of backed out of the room and went, I don't want any part of this. Clearly I could feel the energy of it. But, you know, I came sniffing back around again going, what's going on here? Eventually entered into studying with him.
And what part of the world were you in?
I was, okay, talk about your basic who knew it could happen there. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio.
A hotbed of shamanism, no doubt.
A hotbed of shamanism, yes. There is a hotbed of shamanism in the midst of Cincinnati, Ohio, and some right. damn fine ice cream as well. Anyway, I got through my studies. I graduated. We started putting together transformational intensives, doing work not only in our own events, but also in other events. All the while, I was still hanging out in corporate America, living this dual life of over here, I'm the business type, and out here, I'm the wild and crazy shaman, drummer, transformational ritualist, amazing person. I think at one point the CEO was complaining about his son, and I said, well, if you send him with me, I'll take him out for the weekend and he can dance naked around bonfires. And the CEO looked at me and said, well, maybe I'll keep him home.
When you put it that way.
Exactly. And in the midst of all that, having more or less graduated and going to events, this strange person showed up on my doorstep by the name of Kelly Sparta. So, Kelly Sparta, what were you doing on my doorstep?
Well, I was actually on walkabout, which was kind of interesting.
This was a while ago because your walkabout was 2002.
Yeah. So one of the really interesting things that Kathy and I discovered as we were talking is that we both basically chucked our lives and went off and joined the circus in 1998. And, which was 4 years before we ever met. And I say that because that's literally what my business partner said to me. I was a real estate agent at the time and I was married and I was 28 and I of course was in the middle of my Saturn return and had, built the life that I thought that the American dream was. I was a pillar of my community. I owned my own business. I owned my own house. I had a trophy husband and a beautiful, you know, a big dog and a cul-de-sac lot. And I was on the board of directors for Habitat for Humanity doing my volunteer work. I was a pillar of the community. And I was miserable. I hated my life. And within the course of about a year, I had asked my husband for a divorce, sold my house, sold my business, moved out of state, and was living with people I had met at the Renaissance Fair, who, as it turned out, were all shamans. And of course, you know, excuse me, they had introduced me into the world of paganism by way of Rites of Spring, and which is a festival in Western Mass, and I had happily declared myself a witch. I'm a witch. And they were like, oh, we're shamans. And I'm like, yeah, that's nice. You guys can be a shaman. I will be the token witch. Because I, quite frankly, had no idea what a shaman was. And one day I went into the basement of our house and went to walk across the basement to pull on the pull switch that was in the middle of the room. And in the process of trying to get from the door to the pull switch in the absolute darkness, I felt all of these cobwebs come in and just surround my body. And I went, maybe I don't need whatever it is that I came down here looking for that badly. And I turned around and went back upstairs. And it wasn't until I came down the following morning that I noticed that there were no cobwebs in the entire room when I went down the next day, none. And I realized at that moment that there had been no cobwebs on my clothing when I left the room either. And my shaman mentor and roommate looked at me and said, yeah, Grandmother Spider's calling you. You really might want to answer that, because when I ignored her, she made a nest of baby spiders hatch over my bed in the middle of the night, and they feasted on me. I was like, okay, who's Grandmother Spider? why does she want me? And so, you know, over the course of time, he inculcated me into what that meant, over the next year and a half or so, I came to understand that yes, I was surrounded by shamans, and that meant I was one. Hello, vibrational energy engaged, right? If you're in harmony with the people around you, you're probably one of them. It became evident to me when my housemate got married that I was probably going to have to move. And basically within 4 or 5 months of my housemate getting married, the entire house had moved. It was like we had done this little incubator together for 4 years. We had gotten ourselves as far as we could get ourselves together, and then we scattered to the winds. And people moved all over the country. Thankfully, I just, you know, went on walkabout for a year. I was homeless and living out of my car, and staying with random people along the way, some of whom I knew, most of whom I didn't. And in the course of this walkabout, I went to an event called Heart Fire at Brushwood, and met a woman named Angela, who I informed that I was on walkabout. And she said, oh, well, that's very interesting. You have to go to Spiral Festival. And I said, okay, what's Spiral Festival then? Where is it? Now, we're in upstate New York. She said, it's in Atlanta in 4 days. And I said, well, okay, I have enough gas in my car to get to Atlanta. But, you know, I just declared bankruptcy, and I had no credit, and I was living on $350 a month of unemployment insurance. I had no savings. And I said, but I don't have, how much does it cost to get in? She said, it's $275. And I said, I don't have that kind of money to get in. That's my entire monthly budget, basically, for gas and food and car insurance. And she said, well, I had put the money aside to go, and I can't. So if you will go, then I will pay for you. I said, okay. And so she said, okay, follow me home. And then, you know, you can drive out with my boyfriend, Jeff, and his friend, Kater. And I was like, okay. And so I follow her home. And next thing I know, Jeff and I are going across from Kentucky to Cincinnati. And we land on the doorstep of this woman named Kater at the time, which is, of course, Kathy.
Yep.
And she's like, hey, what's up? Yeah.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really funny because I'm republishing the journal from that walkabout right now on my blog.
Yep.
Because I was told twice on that journey that it would be 10 years before I knew the full import, and this is the 11th anniversary.
Right.
And I was republishing it, and the first day the first weekend that Kathy and I ran our first event of this Spiritual Leader University that we're doing, that weekend, the blog post was published, was the day that we met 11 years ago. And so it was like, holy cow. Talk about knowing the import, right? It was like, that was the day 11 years earlier that we had met. And I read that week that followed it, and it said that we had been talking about doing this back then, within the first few days of our meeting. And so, you know, I'm kind of looking back going, damn, those were some damn fine readers. And so, you know, ironically, Kathy and I became really good friends. And, you know, we stayed in touch, but she lived in Cincinnati and I ultimately finished my walkabout and ended up back up in the Northeast in Boston area. And so we were at a distance and we saw each other, I don't know, I used to go to the event that she helped run, which was Lumen's Gate. And, so we saw each other once a year doing that. And for 1 year after that, maybe two, we saw each other at Spiral again before Spiral ended. And, you know, we did an event together back in 2007, but we really didn't see each other in person a lot. We talked on the phone, every three or four months, and that was about it. But in the meantime, the two of us are still trying to do our thing and make a go at things. And, you know, I was having to go through my phase. You know, I'd gone from being a real estate agent to being a real estate trainer. And then I went into the whole business coaching thing and, oh, I know everything about internet marketing because I made my living on the internet for 9 years and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I had to get through that. And then I had to, you know, get the message from Spirit over and over and over again when I'm like, what do you want me to do? I kept trying to get out of the real estate world and I just kept hitting a brick wall. And it just, and the message kept coming back from Spirit over and over again, just be who you are. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, seriously? Seriously, I am not freaking Amma. What do you want from me? I'm screaming at them.
Yep.
Now, here's a funny story. I'm sitting there with my friend Melody, who was the ever suffering, you know, and she would listen to me whine forever. I loved her to death. But I was sitting there with her, having this conversation with her for what had to be the 30th time. And this woman who I know comes walking in, her name's Annie. We're sitting in Starbucks. She walks in the door. I look at her and her aura looks terrible. I'm like, oh my God, what happened to you? She's like, I don't know. I feel really strange. I don't know. And I'm like, just stand still. And in the course of like, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, I tuned her up. I sealed up the spots in her aura that had been ripped open and cleared out her space, her aura, grounded her back, got her back in her body and, you know, just got everything moving right again. And I was like, better? She's like, oh, yes, thank you. And she goes off to get her coffee. And I go back to whining at Melody. I'm like, what the fuck does this mean, right? What do you mean I'm supposed to be who I am? I don't get it. Rah, 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 rah. Now, Melody, God love her, didn't say a word. Now, Annie comes back out of the line and walks up to this conversation with me going, I don't understand, blah, 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 blah. And she, in her brilliance, just looks at me and goes, have you met you? And I, of course, am flummoxed. I have no idea what she's talking about.
And I'm, of course, laughing too loud because I do.
And I'm like, who do you mean?
And she proceeds to say, you know, you just, in 3.5 minutes, you fixed the thing that's been bothering me for a week and a half that I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, but I knew there was a problem. And you did it in a coffee shop. I'm like, yeah, but that's just what I do.
Exactly.
You know? And so, you know, that's just the way it is sometimes. And when Kathy and I are talking to people, and, you know, Kathy, jump in anytime you want, but when Kathy and I are working with people, we work with a lot of very spiritual people. And, you know, they don't all want to be shamans. In fact, very few of them want to be shamans. But what we do is we help them take all of that really high level spiritual work that they've done, which is all really upper chakra work, and we help them ground it so that they can get really present on the planet, because a lot of them are, you know, really trying to leave their bodies a lot because it's uncomfortable to be embodied when you're doing spiritual work in a changing world. A lot of what we're doing with them is helping them to see what it is that they do. So that when somebody looks at them and says, just be who you are, they're not screaming it. I'm not freaking Amma, you know? So I mean, it's one of those things where I think Kathy and I know Kathy's got her own stories about this, but Kathy and I have really talked about this, and it took each of us 13 years to get a grip on what it was that we were supposed to be, 15 years to get a grip on what we were supposed to be doing. And to really open ourselves up to the place where we could be doing it in a really open and clear fashion. And, you know, we're looking back on it going, you know, in hindsight, we really did need to hit every single problem there was so that when our clients hit that, we know what to do.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, I know, Kathy, you have probably a ton more to say, so I'm going to shut up now because you know me, I'm the one.
Well, I was going to say, you were talking about vertical integration, you know, the upper chakras and the lower chakras. And we also do a horizontal integration. And it's part of that. I mean, I'm just remembering my journey of, well, first I'm in my left brain being the business type, and then I'm in my right brain being the, you know, magical shaman type. And then I'm back in my left brain, you know, adding up all the accounting stuff. But then I'm back in my right brain doing transformational ritual. And I had those two things completely separated in my life. They didn't inform one another. I made no money at the shaman magical stuff. And I made all my money over in the corporate realm where there was a whole half of me not there. So it was like I was doing this dance between the horizontal sides of myself. And one of the things I really love about what we're doing right now also is we're bridging that wisdom. We're working with the energies and in the magical and shaman realms, and also in sort of that creative image bound or delineated side of the right brain. And we're bringing language to that and energetics to that in such a way that it creates the bridge so that you don't end up being hemispherically lobotomized. You get to use all your brain instead of half your brain to be able to bring your purpose, your calling, your mission into the world, whatever it is you want to do. Because if everybody out in left brain land looks at right brain land and goes, oh man, those people are too damn weird. Right. And everybody in right brain land looks at left brain land and says, those stuffed shirts, what do they know about anything? They're just old stick in the muds. And that's a generalization, but the two sides, even in the people capacity, don't talk to each other really well. And the power is really in the integration of that.
Right.
Yeah. And that was one of the hardest things for me to get, actually. Up until a year and a half ago, I was still promoting myself as a business coach and with a little bit of a spiritual side. You know, if you looked in my about me section at the very bottom, it would say practicing shaman, but it didn't actually, you know, lead with that by any stretch of the imagination. And it actually took working with a coach for a while to whack me upside the head and say, no, you are a shaman and a healer and you need to start with that. Right. And I was like, but I'll be woo woo. Nobody will take me seriously and they'll think I'm not grounded and they'll think I'm one of those white light and bunny people that don't believe that anything goes bad if they don't believe it. I was like, I didn't want to be associated with the weekend shaman and other woo woo weirdos, you know, because we all know them. And I was like, I don't,
everyone,
I don't.
Everyone starts as a wannabe or a dilettante. So, you know,
yes,
we have to be nice to them.
And I, yes, I understand. And there are stages that we all go through and I totally get that. And I had worked too damn hard to be identified in one of the earlier stages.
Right.
That was where it was coming from for me. I was like, you know what? I have not sweat and killed myself and dug into my deepest, darkest crap and faced down my inner demons and looked myself in the face and said, this is where you suck and have to change. You know, I had not done those things and then come out the other side and learned how to love myself anyway. I had not done all that work to be identified as one of the beginners, you know, and I was, and that's what most of the people in my mind, most of the people in the business world were going to judge me as, and I was projecting that judgment. And, you know, in, the only reason you project judgment is if you hold it for yourself. And I was like, okay, so how is it that I'm not feeling that, you know, I've done it? And it was, you know, that's what it came down to, is I wasn't giving myself credit for the work I had done. And I was just projecting that other people wouldn't.
Yep.
And that was the piece, you know? I mean, everybody goes through the stages. I remember those stages. I did that too, you know? And there's that place where, you know, we all go through the place where it's, you know, there's the beginner stuff where you see somebody else do it and you go, wait, did you just do something? Wow. That was weird. wait, that stuff doesn't really work, does it? And so you go and you read a bunch of books and you take a couple workshops and then suddenly you're like, holy crap, this stuff works. And then suddenly you're in the proselytize phase where you got to tell everybody, you know, because you got to get them all to come to the workshop with you because gee, you know, if they believe it too, then it might actually be real, you know?
Right.
And then you get to the phase where, you know, it depends on whether you're an introvert or an extrovert when you get to this phase. If you're an extrovert, you go and you start teaching all the stuff that you knew because, you know a lot more than you used to know. And so you just should tell people what you know now. And that's partly just to prove to yourself that you actually know it. And if you're an introvert, you go into the study really hard and hermit phase.
Right.
And you read everything you can and you don't talk to anybody about it because you're thinking about it really hard. And then you jump into the phase where it is the, I'm just going to do my own work. I'm not going to talk to anybody else about it. And that's whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. The introverts get there faster. The extroverts, we have to go teach first. And then at some point in the midst of that, I'm not going to talk to anybody about it phase, somebody says, would you teach me? And you go, no, I'm not teaching. And then somebody else says, would you teach me? And you go, did you not hear me say I'm not teaching? And then somebody else says, would you teach me? And you're like, freaking fine. Sit your butt down and I will teach you. Anybody else? And then like 8 hands shoot up and it's like, okay, fine. Everybody sit down. And I'm just going to tell you what I know and I'm not going to worry about it. And we're not going to, and you know, the ego gets out of it.
Right.
But, and then there's the phase where the universe looks at you and says, I want you to do this really crazy thing. And you go, you want me to do what?
Yeah.
Are you out of your flipping mind? Seriously? And they go, yeah, it's okay.
Which happens to everybody who does this work, and it's a good place for us to get ready for the break, and we'll come right back to that conversation. Why don't you give people the web address where they can find information about what you're doing?
www.spiritualleaderuniversity.com.
What a catchy URL. And we are going to continue in just a couple of minutes after a few fascinating announcements here on the Farkas Files. You know, I'm laughing partly because that conversation with Spirit that goes, you want me to do what?
Yeah.
Really? That's going to work? No kidding. Yeah, goes on all the time. Everybody seems to go through it. So we will be back in just a moment with Kathy and Kelly and more about their university after a few messages here on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well. I'm wet!
I'm cold.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and ducks.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Cassidy. Well, where'd my mouth go?
Quick, find it. Put it back.
With you guys, Kathy Shire and Kelly Sparta. And you're doing this amazing program where you're teaching people to be shamans. And maybe we should start this segment with defining what you mean by a shaman. What is that?
I'll let you talk, Kathy.
You want me to talk? Okay. For me, and you know, we've actually never shared a definition, so this ought to be pretty interesting.
Yeah,
for
so
me,
I let you talk first.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you're thinking up your answer. You pulled that crap on me before. Uh-huh.
At least you know what to expect.
Love you too, dear. Love you later. There we go. A shaman is someone who walks between worlds. He's a bridger. He or she bridges understandings, bridges literally energetic worlds, bridges. We were talking about vertical integration and horizontal integration. Those are all ways of bridging from one side to the other, from one perspective to another, from one physicality to another, from one energetic reality to another, from one world to another, from one belief system to another, from one language to another. It's all about, for me, it's all about that bridge capacity, of a transformer, in that sense, in that they are the carrier of the current, literally the bridge and the source of, that capacity for people to look at what it is that they want or desire or the place they want to go or what they want to bring into their lives and create that transformational bridge for them that they can take that journey and realize that within their own lives, within their own energy bodies, within their own soul, really, literally.
Yeah, the word in the original language means something like the one who sees in the dark or the one that can do things in the dark, the one who has the ability to see other worlds and make changes in this world because of that connection to the other worlds. So it's amazing work, and you're doing something that's profound because you're taking people who are not setting out to be shamans.
Well, man, you keep saying that we're training people to be shamans, which is so not what we tell people we're doing, David.
What do you tell them?
Well, I mean, you know, what we're doing is we're helping people who are on a spiritual path to ground that path. You know, that's really the work that we're doing. We're helping them to step in and fully actualize all of who they're choosing to be on the planet so that whatever mission they have, they can really fully embody that mission and bring it forward. Now, are we using shamanic tools to get there? Yes. We're also using other tools to get there. I mean, Kathy and I both come out of a huge background and a bunch of different stuff. And so, you know, we've got a massive toolbox and we use whatever tool is the right tool for the purpose. And it's really kind of interesting because Kathy and I come at it from very different angles because Kathy has this weird thing that she can talk to the god of any tradition and the god talks to her.
Cool.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't travel in these worlds, that's rare. If you're not actually the penitent or the studier of that particular tradition, oftentimes the powers that be don't bother to pay attention to you at all. And so Kathy can talk to all of these things. I don't do that.
I just figure it's a case of mutual respect.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And so
and Kathy, to a certain extent, reputation.
Yeah, that's fine. There is that.
You become known and trusted.
Yeah.
So it's an honor to have a wide range of entities acknowledge you. Yeah.
Well, I think part of it for me comes from a place that just says that I hold no judgment around any of it. It's mm-hmm. like I have a personal thing that says that all spiritual paths are meant to lead you somewhere. They're like spiritual technologies. They're to be used to evolve ourselves. And that different spiritual technologies speak to different people, just like Macs and PCs.
Right.
But if you start worshiping your technology and you forget where the path is supposed to take you, you end up in this fight over whose technology is the better technology, and everybody's lost the goal, which is how it's supposed to move you and evolve you.
I like that. I like the way you talk about it. And that's accurate because in a very basic way, all of it is the same. If you look at indigenous cultures all over the world and what they're saying and what they're doing, it's culturally different. And because of that, they develop different methodologies, but they're all talking about the same thing and doing basically the same thing.
Yeah. So when you stand in that place, they all talk to you.
Right.
Well, they all talk to you, Kathy.
Okay.
I stand in that place too, but they don't talk to me. What happens for me is I'm all about the embodiment piece. And so, you know, if I need to work with a particular energy, I generally just channel the high priest or priestess of that tradition, and I just end up embodying that. So I end up speaking in languages I don't know and, you know, running energies that I don't personally have familiarity with. But when that energy is with me, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know exactly how to use this. No problem. And so it's, you know, Kathy can go up and talk to them, and me, I'm just like, yeah, I'll just bring them into my body. It'll all be good. So, but I mean, each of us have our own way of doing things. And so that's one of the reasons why we work so well together is because we come at it from completely different angles.
So tell us a little bit about who comes to your program and what they should expect, which is a loaded question because who knows what's going to happen
at any point,
but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Kathy, you want to take that?
Well, I'll do at least. I actually made a list today for an earlier presentation I was doing to a networking group, and I was kind of shocked, actually, when I got through the list about all the different types of people who've come to our workshop so far, and that included coaches and photographers and psychics and channels and psychotherapists and hospital administrators and planetary project managers and business owners, and it was such a broad cross-section of individuals and backgrounds that the one consistent thing when I was looking at it that I realized was it really is about people who have a calling, who feel like there's more for them to do in the world. They may not even be clear on what that calling is or what that mission is, but they definitely feel like they are here for some reason, and they want that reason to manifest in their lives, and that's what brings them into the room, regardless of where they came from.
Right. And so what's the format? I know you're doing these all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're doing 28 events in the next 14 months.
But other than that, what are you up to?
Trying to sleep at some point? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So the Manifest Your Mission, which is our primary program, which is the one Kathy's been talking about, it's three full days. It's all day on Friday, all day on Saturday, all day on Sunday. And we are working with people. We're basically walking people through a transformational process that allows them to get through whatever the blocks are that are in the way of them coming to clarity about what their mission is, and then about clearing out and making the energetic field of what their mission is clear, and identifying whatever their personal issues are. And some of those get cleared and some of them don't. I mean, it depends on how heavy the hooks are as to what and how much work you've done on the issues. But the mission itself gets a clean slate so that your personal issues don't end up stuck in that mission. Because that's what we do, right? We expand our energy field and we create the mission out of our personal energy field because it's an extension of our beingness. And if there's anything we haven't cleared, it gets stuck into the field of the mission. And so part of the work we do is to clear that out and to identify the issues that still need to be cleared and to get that clarity of purpose and mission, and then to provide a context for taking that mission out into the world. And when I talk about a context, I'm talking about a concept of how the spiritual world relates to the business world. Because, you know, most of the people who come through our programs, well, I would say probably two-thirds of the people who come through our programs have been in business for a while. And they've probably done, you know, two or three different business programs. They've listened to online trainings. They've done a whole bunch of stuff. So, you know, the business structure pieces are not new. But what we give is the spiritual context for those business structures so that people understand what the energy fields are that are surrounding that and how they have been sabotaging themselves in those energy fields and in the ways that those energies flow, and to be able to see how their personal energies are interacting with the energy fields, both of their mission and of the world at large and of their ideal clients that they want to come in, what we call their client tribe. And we work with them to shift those energetics so that they can take the blocks out of the spaces in between.
Yeah, and also what I like about the vibratory nature of what we're working with the energy is its concepts of resonance and dissonance. So, you know, when you've got resonance, you have amplification. Amplification means louder, more powerful, greater reach, more positive, more profitable, all those other good things. When you have dissonance, you know, when you don't have the things lined up, that dampens the energy and makes everything go flat. So you end up with stuck people who aren't focused and aren't moving.
Right.
And our goal is to get them unstuck, very focused, and moving forward powerfully towards accomplishing what it is they want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So where do you want to give a list of the next few trainings so people get an idea where you're going to be?
Yes. we are going to be in Arlington, Virginia, and we're actually going to be doing two programs back-to-back in Arlington, Virginia in December. December 6th to the 8th, we will be doing a program called Magic 101, which is the foundation building of how to do magic. And that's everything from setting sacred space to creating protections to, working with clearing your field and your surroundings and things like that. And then the 13th to the 15th of December, we will be doing the program Manifest Your Mission, which is the one we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those are in Arlington. And then in January, we'll be doing Manifest Your Mission in Boston from the 3rd to 5th of January, in San Francisco from the 10th to 12th of January, in Tampa from the 24th to the 26th of January. And then in February, we start our amplification intensives, which are our retreats, our 3-day retreats for personal growth purposes. And then March, where are we in March, Kathy? Do you remember?
I believe March is Long Beach.
Long Beach, that's right.
Long Beach, yes.
March is Long Beach.
And also, let's see.
You're thinking about coming back to Boston in March?
We were debating whether we were going to come back to Boston in that time frame. And we were also talking Vancouver, but we hadn't really solidified that yet.
Correct. So, and we are definitely definitively going to Austin, Texas in June 20th to the 22nd. And there are a bunch of dates that are hanging, waiting for us to get solidified. We basically, the way that we work is that we, if we're going to go someplace, we ask to have somebody on the ground who is a local,
right,
who will be our manifester for us. And their job is to help us put the event together, find the hotel. We rent the hotel room, but they find the hotel and they work to help bring people into the event. And in exchange, they get to come in for free. So, so that's what we're doing, is we're firming up with our different manifestors and as to where we're going right now. So we don't announce an event usually until we have a venue for it.
Right. And all of this is on the website, which is?
SpiritualLeaderUniversity.com.
SpiritualLeaderUniversity.com. Write that down. Check out the schedule.
I do got to do my little legal thing here, which is we are a university, but we do not grant degrees, and these are not accredited courses, but we are an institution of higher learning.
Yes.
I like that.
The original definition of universitas is from the coming together of masters in their traditions and the students. And the sharing of knowledge. And so that's the place that we come at for the university term.
Mm-hmm.
We would have said universitas, but we figured people couldn't spell it.
they just think we couldn't spell.
Yeah.
So we were like, let's not use all the English, shall we?
Or Latin, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it is. Yeah. Thank you. It probably is Latin. Thank you, David.
there are so few people studying Latin these days.
No, obviously not me.
Yeah, I figured. So we have another couple of minutes. What else do you want people to know about the program and why they should contact you? At what point in their process should they be going, oh, yeah, those folks that were on David's show?
One of the things I want to say about that is, if you don't want to change your life, please don't show up. I'm serious.
Not really? No,
I'm very serious. I mean, we create powerful transformational space, and people that come into that space are doing deep work, and they're coming out of there going, OMG, my life has changed. I'm unstuck. I'm beginning to make, you know, much more significant amounts of money. I have a clear focus. I know how to talk about what it is that I'm doing. I'm changing lives. I mean, people come out of this program and begin to make significant differences in not only in their own lives, but in the lives of others. And that's what works in the room. If you come into that room thinking, la-di-da, maybe I'm just curious or check this out, you're either going to get run over, you know, and be a little bit of roadkill. I mean, we promise not to actually run you over, but you're going to feel run over in part by the energy in the room, or you're just going to run away because it's
while
definitely
fighting the room.
Not. Yeah, it's definitely, we've had that happen.
We have.
So people get in and feel what's really powerfully going on, and they're not ready to change. They have real reasons. I'm not knocking this. They have very real reasons for staying where they are. Okay. It's a safety mechanism. It's a coping mechanism. There's a bunch of things where people say they want one thing, but they're really, really entrenched in where they are. And it's actually a disservice to them to try and, you know, to come into the room because all of a sudden they're in this space where they're not comfortable. And they're beyond not comfortable. They're terrified. And it's not a good thing.
Yeah. And so, you know, on the flip side of that, so wait, before I go on the flip side, just to be clear about that. So if you are really engaged in the idea that you are being victimized by anything, and you're really attached to that idea, then we're probably not the place for you to come. Because at the very core of all the work we're doing is issues of personal power. And that is we're helping people step into their power. That's what we're doing. We've modeled the crap out of it and we talk about it and we hold the space. And that's what happens in that room. People who never had permission or gave themselves permission, they step up and they own their stuff. And so if you're really attached to the idea that somebody is victimizing you, then you're not going to be happy in that room. And that's unless you're willing to let that go, really willing to let that go, this is not going to be a good place for you. And if you're not at a place yet where you can own your own triggers, you know, where something hits a button for you and you don't like immediately, you know, if you can't stop yourself from yelling at everybody around you because you've got triggered, then this really isn't the room for you either. You need to be able to say, wow, I'm really triggered right now. And then we can process that. But it's fine to get triggered. You just have to be able to own that it's yours. Now, on the flip side, I'm going to say that there are a lot of people who walk into the room who have done a lot of personal work. And they've gone to a lot of workshops. They've gone to a lot of retreats. They've done a lot of events. And they walk into the room thinking that they know what to expect. And they really, there's two things. One is that there's a gestalt that happens. There's an energy that builds before the event. And when you sign up, when you commit to the event, you step into that energetic. And that energetic can feel like, oh, crap, what did I just do? You know, there's that sort of excited, sort of uncomfortable energy that says, oh, wow, things are going to change. And you could feel that before you walk in the door. And there's a place where, you know, we get emails from people going, oh, and we're like, no, it's okay. It's okay. And then, you know, people come and they're like, wow, okay, now I understand why it was that I was feeling so trepid and intrepid about it.
And it sounds.
But people come in and they get blown away because it's so much deeper and so much broader and so much stronger a container than they're used to experiencing. And so that's the other side.
Well, it sounds like a very powerful process. And as usual, we could keep talking forever, but we're running out of time.
Yep.
So people can find out more about what Kathy and Kelly are doing at spiritualleaderuniversity.com.
Yes.
And it's exciting stuff. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you for having us on, David. We really appreciate it.
Definitely. My pleasure.
Very much
Thanks for doing this. This has been a great
thanks,
show.
David.
If people are interested in what I do, You can find me at househealing.com, and cleverly hiding on the contact tab is every conceivable way to get in touch with me, including my calendar. I do a 20-minute free assessment of what's going on with you and how my work might be helpful to you. So please take advantage of that.
And by the way, just for the record, David is my personal shaman that I have gone to for the last 6 years. So if you think, well, does he know what he's talking about? Let me say, the man's got game.
Thanks, Kelly. Yeah, longer story, but
yes.
If you're looking for the archive for the show, it's at thefarkasfiles.com. And I hope you will be with us next week. And thank you so much for enjoying our company once again. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a wonderful week.
Bye. Bye-bye.